Good morning. It is time to get up with an explanation for the inexplicable. We'll tell you why Urban Meyer did it, and more importantly, why it won't work. Plus, the Alabama connection. King Henry recruiting Julio to the Music City. Could this be the move that wins the AFC? And has this season changed absolutely everything for Steph Curry? Does he now belong in the discussion with the greatest players of all time? Those are just some of the questions. We've got all of the answers as we get up with you on this beautiful Friday on Get Up on ESPN. Delighted you've chosen to join us. I am Greeny. We've got a terrific squad ready to go. Jay Will will jump in from radio in just a couple of minutes. And Kimberly Martin, Rob Ninkovich, Bart Scott can't wait. And Mike T is wheeling and dealing our way through the NFL. And that's where we start. Football on this Friday. And Tim Tebow, who yesterday signed a one-year deal with the Jaguars, was on the field for the team's offseason program wearing number 85, taking part in a voluntary closed workout. He will attempt to make the final roster as a tight end. What are our expectations here? Well, they should be fairly low. He's been targeted on exactly one pass in his collegiate and NFL career. That was an incompletion in 2012 from Mark Sanchez. He has played 37 NFL games. The last of those was more than 3,000 days ago. He would be the seventh player in history to go more than 8 years between games if he's able to do it. But we are still, at this point, a long way from that. Here we see the entire squad and Kimberly Martin, my insider. I start with you. What are you hearing from people around the sport about this decision by Urban Meyer to bring Tim Tebow to Jacksonville?
Oh, Greeny, there's a lot of skepticism when it comes to Tim Tebow. But at the very least, it's not a good look when you're bringing in a guy to help set your new culture, a guy who doesn't have a lot of NFL street cred among players. You just talked about how long it's been since he's played. That said, I do feel a little bad for Tim Tebow. He's getting a lot of heat, and it's not his fault. Look, kids out there, here's the lesson. Life is not fair. People will get opportunities before you who necessarily don't deserve them, but they will get them because they've got the plug. It's all about who you know. But there are some positives, though. The Jaguars are going to sell jerseys, and the more we talk about Tim Tebow and the fans care about Tim Tebow, the less people are watching Trevor Lawrence. So there might be some upside there.
Well, there might be some upside to that, or maybe not so much. Mike Tannenbaum, you've lived a version of this. What would you imagine might be going on behind the scenes right now regarding Trevor Lawrence?
I am sure that Trevor Lawrence's agents have called Jacksonville and said, what are you doing? You are taking away from the development of the most important person in the franchise, Trevor Lawrence. And you know how I know that, Greeny? I got the same call 9 years ago when we traded for Tim Tebow. And Mark Sanchez's agents, rightfully so, by the way, said, what are you doing? And here's a very realistic scenario, which is, what happens if at the one-yard line, Tim Tebow scores on a quarterback sneak, and then on the next drive, Trevor Lawrence throws a pick six? I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, but he's a rookie quarterback. There is going to be a learning curve. You do not want a quarterback controversy. I don't expect one, but given the popularity of Tim Tebow, if he has any success and Trevor Lawrence has any sort of stumbles, which he will have, Jacksonville is putting them in a position unnecessarily to bring tension to that position where this should be about Trevor Lawrence's development. So I am sure there has been some calls from Trevor Lawrence and his agent expressing their concern and disappointment.
I'm with that. And look, here we are talking about the possibility that the number one pick in the draft will have a quarterback controversy with the third string tight end. That's where this conversation is, but that is the unique nature of the player and the person that we are talking about. Bart Scott, your thoughts.
I mean, I waxed poetic last week, Greeny, and I kind of said my piece. But here's the reality of it, right? Tim Tebow don't know what he don't know. He's never played the position. He doesn't understand the nuance and idiosyncrasies of what goes on to the position. He's not even going to know what's coming, what's happening to him. And when you get to these OTAs, what you have is this drill called 304 and 101s. And if I'm a linebacker that's played the position my entire life, it is no way I'm going to be the one caught on film getting sixed up or caught or the ball caught on me by Tim Tebow. So I'm going to make sure I put my hands sternly in his chest, and I'm going to jam him behind the line of scrimmage where he has to run to the other side. And if he dare tries to block me, I'm going to ragdoll him like a pit bull on a poodle. I'm going to let him know that this is grown man business. And it's not about Tim Tebow coming in and competing against tight ends. It's about him trying to disrespect me as a player that has played the position my entire life on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be a tough, tough camp for Tebow if I'm in that locker room.
Matt and Rob Ninkovich, you were saying something similar earlier. There's tough, and then there's the line of scrimmage in the NFL, tough. And those might be two different things. Nink.
Yeah, look, it's a mentality. When you're up on that line of scrimmage, it's like a fighter when he gets in the ring. You have to have an edge to you, and you have to be willing to put yourself in a position where you're not going to lose. And I know that if I was going against a quarterback that's trying to change his career path into a tight end 7 years later, I'm going to make sure that I give him the business, and I'm going to make sure that I make sure he feels it. So for me, you know, if he's going to be the third tight end, we have to be realistic here. If you're the third tight end on a roster, you have to be able to do something else in the special teams category. Most third tight ends are going to play on special teams somewhere. Kickoff return, they'll be back, you know, blocking for the return. They might be on punt return. They might be on punt team. And look, he already tried punt team. I remember when he was with the Jets and he wasn't playing necessarily any offense, so they stuck him on punt team to throw some gadgets in there. We weren't really even worried about him. We didn't even have to make sure we blocked him because we knew that he wasn't going to go down there and make a big play. He wasn't going to go hit somebody and cause a fumble. So, you know, when I think about Tim Tebow on a roster, he has to be a really good route runner because he's not going to be a blocker. And I don't see him going from baseball hitting BP, coming in running crispy routes. So, I mean, look, it'd be a great story, but I just think that it's going to be a really hard road for him, especially when he gets into training camp when the pads get on.
All right, we will have much more on this as we go. That is one of the things everyone's talking about. We got a lot of superstars in the news today. That's one of them. Here comes the next one. Stephen Curry in Golden State, taking a look at his legacy and the impact this season has had. He is probably the greatest three-point shooter in NBA history. In fact, I'm not even sure why I said probably. This year, he made an NBA record 5.3 threes per game, breaking his own record. He's a two-time MVP, won it back-to-back in 2015 and 16. He's a finalist again this year. Could become the ninth player ever to win it three times. His championship pedigree, check. Three rings to his name. One of eight players in history with at least three titles and two MVPs. All of that led Tim Legler to say this on my radio show yesterday.
How can Steph Curry not be considered an all-time great? Particularly with what he has done once again as the alpha deeper into his career. Very few guys can have the run that Steph Curry had. Then dial it back a little bit to make room for Kevin Durant, go through injuries, and go right back not only to where he was, Greeny, he just had the greatest offensive stretch of his career, and he was a unanimous MVP. Think about that. So for me, this year has been about the rise of Steph Curry on the all-time greats list.
So that was Tim Legler from my radio show. This is Jay Williams from KJZ on ESPN Radio. And it's an interesting thought. A year ago, I think we were having completely different conversations about Steph Curry. What has this season, in your view, meant to his legacy and his place on the all-time list of great players?
For me, I've always thought that Stephen Curry is one of the greatest to ever do it. Definitely the greatest shooting guard of all time. But I think for people, it reminds them of how prolific of a scorer Stephen Curry is and that he can carry the weight. I did not think that this team currently constructed would make the playoffs. The fact that they're in a battle for the eighth seed, we'll still see if he can complete the deal tonight, I think speaks volumes about who Stephen Curry is and his place in history.
Now, I think that there's a lot of different pieces of that are accurate. If you go back to the pre-KD Warriors, I think they were seen as a group of which he was a great scorer, but maybe just a piece, not someone who could carry a team. Then KD comes. That changes everybody's perception on everything. This year, he carries a team almost single-handedly into the playoffs, which is what all-time greats do, what all-time superstars do. I think that's a big piece of how this transforms his legacy.
I agree, and this also brings me to a different point about LeBron James. If we're giving the same love for Steph Curry to carry his team to a potential eighth seed, then how do we categorize that with LeBron James? Even though people love to demean him about his finals record, look at some of the teams he's taken to the finals. Mm-hmm. Not the eighth seed, the finals. Stephen Curry, though, what he's been able to do is on a different level, though, Greeny. And I will say this. I know Legler said he's trending towards top 10. He's not in my top 10 right now. That is not a slight on Stephen Curry. But when it's all said and done, when his career is over, when we can look at the entire body of work, he will be top 10.
Look, I mean, there's a lot, and I'm with you.
He will be top 10.
And maybe the most interesting thing that can be said about it is a year ago today, I don't think anyone was having that conversation. That's what this year has meant. There are four players in history who have won multiple scoring titles, multiple MVPs, and multiple championships. They are Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, and Steph Curry. I mean, he's on that kind of list. And so that, I think, is just, that's all Tim's point was, and I think it's a valid and interesting point to make, that Steph Curry, with the season he has had, has vaulted himself into the conversation with the greatest players of all time.
And then for anybody that gives you the hypothetical scenarios by saying, oh, Kevin Durant's on that team, we don't know if they don't win two more championships. You know, maybe he does get two final MVPs. Well, all right, well, look, Ray Allen made a shot to help LeBron James win a championship, right? There's a lot of different scenarios that could have played out differently. It won't matter when it's all said and done about his greatness.
So, it was announced yesterday that he is one of three finalists for this year's MVP award, along with Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Who gets J. Will's vote?
Steph Curry gets my MVP. He gets my MVP. And I was a guy literally 2 weeks ago that said, I think it's all over. I think Jokic is going to get it. It felt like Jokic has put up incredible numbers. I respect Jokic for what he's done. What we're seeing here, though, is spectacular. Jokic is spectacular, too. But for a person who's 6'2", 6'3", dropping 32 points a game, the scoring champ, carrying this team with guys who've been in the G League. There were guys in the G League on his roster for a chance they had to complete the deal tonight. But it would be Stephen Curry for me.
Yeah, Steph Curry gets my vote as well because you can be valuable in a lot of different ways. Does he win tonight? Does he beat Ja Morant in Memphis?
Yes, they do.
And that would
they
mean they would move on to play Utah. All right, that's KJ. Jay Will is going bed, moving on over to KJZ, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, brother.
All right, and what do we have next here? Coming up, from worst to first, why some people are saying the Eagles could fly to a division title this season. We have that. Plus, he may be the best wide receiver in the game, and he's available. What will it cost for Julio? Where will he be this coming year? Answers to those questions as we get up with you in this hour. And let's see if Tim Kirkchin can answer this one. Tony La Russa is the second person to manage a Major League Baseball team after being inducted into the Hall of Fame as a manager. Who was the first? That's the question and the answer from Tim Kirkchin is next. Oh, he looks perplexed. Let's see. The answer's coming up next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's no surprise. He's one of the best to ever do it.
Julio Jones, and he caught it. Touchdown, Atlanta. Jones is open and will score. Oh, my heavens.
There you go, Atlanta. Julio's in the end zone.
Reports continue to swirl about Julio Jones and his future with the Falcons yesterday. The Athletic reported Atlanta is interested in trading the superstar wide receiver. That got the attention of Tennessee's running back, Derrick Henry, who reacted with this tweet in response to the trade rumors. Derrick Henry making the strong recruiting pitch, saying it's time to tighten up. I can't use the two letters in the middle, but I have a feeling you know what they stand for. Derrick Henry and Julio Jones, both obviously Alabama guys. Are we expecting, Kimberly, for Julio Jones to be traded after June 1st? What do you think?
Greeny, we're expecting it because the Falcons are so desperate to clear cap space and sign their draft class, right? But there are three questions when you consider, can they move Julio Jones? You want to know, what's the price? If you're a prospective team, what's the price? What's it going to cost? What's the other team's cap situation? Because he carries a large cap number. And what's the QB situation like? Are you a team that's paying a lot of money to your QB? Are you going to have money for Julio? Or do you have a young QB who's on a rookie contract where you can make the numbers work? Now, one GM I talked to who's not in the Julio Jones market did say the incentive for trying to get a Julio Jones who's 30 plus is you hope he's got one good year and you're a contender and he puts you over the top. But we're so far removed from the draft and so far removed from free agency, there are only a couple teams that really have the cap space and the situation to make this work.
All right, so we're sort of trying to thread that needle with Julio, but it is still worth the exercise. Which team out there, in the eyes of our group, is Julio Jones away from potentially winning the World Series? We just heard Derrick Henry making his pitch. Kimberly, I'll give you the first shot at it. Which team right now should be on the phone trying to get Julio Jones?
Honestly, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. I know they're a team that runs the football. They like to run the football. Cool. But look back at the rosters. When was the last time they had a true number one wide receiver, a big guy? Right now, I need Lamar Jackson to get a top-tier wide receiver. A guy who's tall, who's got a big strike zone where Lamar can throw it to him. And because here's the thing, you want a team that's ready to win. The Baltimore Ravens are on the cusp. Lamar has to take that next step, perfect his passing game in big games. And I think Julio Jones 1 year, that makes sense to me.
Rob Ninkovich, which team right now is Julio Jones away from winning the Super Bowl?
L.A. Chargers, baby. Come on now. You go Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, Mike Williams, Jared Cook. Are you kidding me? If you had all four of those guys out there on the field, DBs would not know who to cover. They wouldn't know what to do. Defenses would have fits with that lineup. So you look at a young quarterback like Herbert coming into his second year. They're going to have a ton of cap space. They don't have a big money quarterback right now. They're going to need a couple years here for him to even progress and then get that big deal. So you go get Julio Jones for one to two years in his prime right now. The Chargers would be a scary team offensively if they had Julio Jones.
I'm with that. That is an intriguing possibility. Bart Scott, can't wait to hear which direction you're looking.
take that back, Greeny, because really why the Tennessee Titans and the Chargers disqualify themselves, because they're not knocking on the doorstep. You talk about having a complete team. The Baltimore Ravens have the most complete team in the NFL, knocking on the doorstep, ready to take the next step. You talk about a young quarterback that's inexpensive. Well, Lamar Jackson is still on his rookie deal. You talk about the ability to have an eight-man box. It's going to be nothing but space for a guy like Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. And also, he can be a mentor to another big receiver and a guy like Bateman, who is similar. And Sammy Watkins, you can't consistently count on his feet to be healthy. So if you bring him in, now you imagine that threat with that running game with Mark Andrews, with Bateman, with potentially Sammy Watkins. That's a team to be reckoned with. And defensively, he's going to continue to get opportunities because the ball's coming right back on the other side.
That's two votes for Baltimore. Mike T., where are you looking?
Bart, you're wrong, and Derrick Henry and the 11-5 Tennessee Titans are exactly correct.
They can't stop nobody trying to ball. They got no defense.
They don't need to, because they're going to have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. We could score 50. We got a great quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, and now we're going to have Julio and A.J. Brown with Derrick Henry. How are you going to stop that? I think their defense will get better as the year goes on.
They don't have any money, Mike.
They can figure out the contract after June 1st. And remember this, guys. Arthur Smith, the current head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. He knows that roster well. I think Rashawn Evans, a good young linebacker and a second-round pick, makes a ton of sense. And now Tennessee can replace Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith.
No.
And now their passing game is right back to where it was.
No. No, you so got
that's what I should have said to you, Bart, when I was negotiating your contract.
If I don't miss my guess,
you know I was negotiating your contract. No, no, and no.
If I don't miss my guess, I think Bart Scott disagrees. Okay, I have to leave it there for the moment, guys, but we will come back to this. I think Bart has a point of contention, and we will see if we don't work our way back to that as we roll forward. But right now, we go back because Tim Kirchen is ready to go, and Hembo is convinced he's going to get this right. Tony La Russa is managing the White Sox. He's the second person to manage a major league team after being inducted into the Hall of Fame as a manager. Tim Kirchen, who was the first?
I'm guessing here, and I'm embarrassed I have to guess. I'll say Connie Mack, because he's the answer to every managerial question.
Could you hear Hembo from across the room? That is correct. Connie Mack was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1937. He managed until 1950 when he was 87 years old. Hembo knew you were going to get it, Tim Kirchen, and indeed you did, because La Russa right now is the center of a lot of conversation. Did you hear what CeCe Sabathia had to say the other day about the job that La Russa is doing in Chicago? If you didn't, listen to this.
Tony La Russa's out of touch with the game, cuz. I'm sorry. This is terrible. He shouldn't be managing that team. And if you're not going to step up and have your players back, what's the point of being the manager of the White Sox?
So that's another pretty strong opinion there, Tim Kirchen. You have covered the game a very long time. Which side of all of this in Chicago do you fall on?
Well, I certainly understand CeCe Sabathia's anger and any other White Sox anger about Tony maybe not backing his players. But I am with the manager on this one. He gave the take sign to Yermín Mercedes, and either he didn't see it or he ignored it. And then he swung at a 3-0 pitch thrown by a catcher at 47 miles an hour. When the manager gives you the take sign, you have to take on that play. And in this case, that's not what happened. Now, I'm all for, after the Twins give up in that game, that a guy swings at a 3-0 pitch against a catcher throwing 47 miles an hour. I'm okay with that. But when you don't see a sign or you blow it off, that's where I land on the side of the manager. And how about the Twins? They gave up in that game. They stopped trying. And then the next day they threw over the head of Mercedes because he swung at a 3-0 pitch against a catcher throwing 47 miles an hour. There's a lot of ways to look at this.
Yeah, there are a lot of things about this thing that went sideways on us all here. Timmy Kirchen, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, a lot of big games. And again, Hembo will be devastated for some time that you got that one right. Meanwhile, as we continue, he's a three-time champion. He's a two-time MVP. Is this the season that has pushed Steph into the all-time debate? We've got that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The game speaks for itself.
Curry way downtown. Bang! Steph is doing everything.
The confidence is always there. I feel like if I shoot that shot, I'm going to make it every single time.
It's too many moves. You just can't stay in front of that. Oh, Steph Curry! For the circus shot.
I have a lot to accomplish. I don't have anything to prove.
What a year Steph Curry has had as I bring Tim Legler into the conversation. Steph and the Warriors versus Ja Morant and the Grizzlies tonight for the final playoff spot in the NBA this season. Legs, let's look at some over-unders and what we expect tonight. Steph, 3 points, three-point shots at 6.5. So 6.5, over-under on threes tonight for Steph Curry.
I'm going over on threes for Steph Curry. And part of that reason is because I think when you take a look at defensively Memphis, their bigs are going to have a more difficult time getting up on these ball screens than a lot of teams. And I think Steph Curry is going to get some space. He's going to get hot. He's lit these guys up before. I think he goes for seven or more threes.
How about 5.5 assists over under for Steph tonight?
Yeah, that should be easy, and I think he's going to get several of those early in the game because Memphis will come out with the right approach. They're going to blitz him on every ball screen, and that's going to lead to Steph Curry giving the ball up, which is going to lead to some open shots for guys. So I think Steph Curry gets that number fairly easily tonight against Memphis.
And then finally, how about points? 38.5 is the over-under on Steph. Which way do we go?
Yeah, that's a high number, Greedy. When we start predicting guys basically are going to get 40 points, that's where I draw the line a little bit. I mean, that's an enormous number to predict an over on. He might do it. I'm not going to be shocked by it. But I think more likely, you know, you see somewhere in that 30-35 range, 40 is such a high number. I have a hard time telling people to go place some money on a guy getting that in a specific game.
All right, fair enough. But that said, you were the one who made the point on my radio show yesterday, and it sort of took my show in an entirely different direction from what I was expecting, and it was extremely well made. Oh, here you are over here. About Steph Curry and what this season has meant and done for his place in the history of the game. And I would love you to make that here because I thought it was an extremely interesting way to look at this.
Well, I just got to thinking about it, watching him play this year and how remarkable it was for him to dial it back to basically the same level he was at as an MVP a number of years ago. Most guys are not going to revert back to that form. He's done it, particularly after injuries. And here's what I started thinking about. You know, at the time he won those back-to-back MVPs, and one of those was unanimous, by the way, he was 27 years old. And then he accepted Kevin Durant coming to that team. And in a way, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry both cannibalized each other's chances at individual accolades for team success. And he won a couple more championships with Kevin Durant. But the guy was just entering the prime years. He was a unanimous MVP, a two-time MVP, and he was never mentioned as an all-time great. He was talked about as greatest shooter we've ever seen, most entertaining player in the league, all of those things. But Greeny, if you think about it, he was never really put on those lists of all-time greats. He wasn't talked about in a discussion with maybe the second greatest point guard of all time behind Magic Johnson. He just wasn't. And we didn't know if he was ever going to get there because his career went in a different direction by adding Durant to that team. So by doing what he has done this year and reverting back to one of the best players in the league, and now you see he's one of the three finalists for MVP, it makes you wonder, what would Steph Curry have done over the last 5 years or so if he never got Kevin Durant in Golden State? And, you know, Klay Thompson was healthy for those several years if Durant wasn't there. The team success they would have had with what Curry is doing right now makes you think this is what it would have looked like. And if that's the case, he probably has at least one more MVP. He may have another ring or two, and now everything is different when you start talking about ranking him historically. I think it's time, based on what he did this year, and that Lakers game cemented it for me, because he faced an elite defense and still rose to the occasion on that stage. Steph Curry now has to be regarded on those short lists of the greatest who have ever done it.
It's an excellent point, and I completely agree with every word that you said. With that thought in mind, because you touched on it, he was announced yesterday as one of the three finalists for MVP this year with Jokic and with Joel Embiid. Who gets your vote?
I think I'm going to go with Jokic. It was Embiid for me most of the year, but I do understand the argument that, hey, look, the guy missed time with injuries. That also probably took LeBron out of the mix. It took James Harden out of the mix. So you have Embiid still in the mix, but I think Jokic, based on the fact that, look, 26-11-8, you know, ridiculous numbers, particularly what he shoots from the field, from the three, the way he controls the game as a passer for that team. They were also 22 games over 500. That all has to play in. And then the last one, and I think this is a good message to send. He was there every night. And in a season in which you rarely saw star players matched up against each other every time you turned into a marquee game, let's reward that. So I think if that's the final argument, the guy was there every single night in a season in which nobody else was, I think that should be enough to tilt it in his direction. And ultimately, I think he will win the award. But the run that Curry has gone on to thrust himself from a guy that probably was top 10 2 months ago to a finalist for the MVP is all you need to know about what we've been watching out of Steph Curry.
Now, that's fair. Let me ask you one more thing while I have you. Lakers-Warriors the other night was epic. The Lakers earn a few days' rest and a date with the Suns. How do you see that series? Phoenix is young, but they have the veteran leadership in Chris Paul. Lakers have looked a little bit rusty. Who do you like in that series?
Lakers are that fighter, Greeny. The bell rung. They came out. They had, the other fighter took two huge uppercuts. They missed. They didn't get knocked out early. Now they breathe a sigh of relief because now you're talking about a best of seven against a team with that kind of length defensively, with that kind of offensive talent that can beat you with a power game or a skill game. Ultimately, the Lakers have too much. This is going to be a good series, and every game could be competitive, but ultimately, when you've got LeBron and AD and the way that they can physically overwhelm you in the paint and around the rim and control the game in that way, I got to put the nod to the Lakers. I think six games. If it goes seven, I won't be shocked, but I don't think this is going to be a short series, five or less. Phoenix is too good for that, and we need to give them the credit and respect that they deserve. But you're talking about going up against a champion that's now healthy and a team that can now breathe a sigh of relief that they avoided catastrophe. They are in a best of seven. They will get better each and every game, each and every round in the postseason.
All right, we will see. And again, it all begins this weekend. Eight playoff games to enjoy this weekend. Legs, we will see you next week. Thank you so much, my friend. And of course, the action actually continues tonight. We have the final game of the play-in tournament. The final spot will be decided between those two, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, Steph Curry and the Warriors. It's 9 Eastern tonight. NBA Countdown starts our coverage 8 Eastern right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, let us go on the clock with a variety of NFL topics here for some of our guests today. Kimberly, you are first up. Can you see the Eagles winning the NFC East this year? 30 seconds. Kimberly, go.
No. And that's all right, because this season is about more than just 2021. There are too many variables here, Greeny. New head coach, first-time head coach, new full-time starting quarterback in Jalen Hurts, new wide receiver in Devontae Smith. Right now, the Eagles need to put Jalen Hurts in the right offense and create a culture where guys are actually buying in, and they need to build the foundation for years to come.
Okay, we will see if they're able to do it. We'll talk more about Jalen Hurts a little bit later in this program. Bart Scott, you are next. 30 seconds. How far does Matt Stafford take the Rams this season? Go.
All the way, Greeny. This is my Super Bowl contender. Okay. This is my pick for Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks that nobody has ever really seen. You talk about a guy that's thrown for 5,000 yards before, was only 34 yards from 5,000 twice, in the most dysfunctional organization in the history of football. Wasted Barry Sanders. Wasted Calvin Johnson. Wasted Billy Sims.
The Detroit is coming out. Okay.
He's going to have a defense. He's going to have a defense for the first time in his career, and he's going to put the world and NFL on notice. That's a bad man, Greeny.
Bart Scott, he likes Matt Stafford. I actually like that pick a lot. Mike T, you're last up here. Baker Mayfield, is he a top 10 NFL quarterback? 30 seconds, go.
Not yet, but boy, it's close, Greeny. What a massive improvement he took last year. 26 touchdowns, they won 11 games, won a playoff game. If Odell Beckham comes back and he's healthy for the full season with a full offseason with Kevin Stefanski, I think he could get there. I just want to see him be a little bit more consistent, especially down the field. But on paper, it's going the right direction. And by the end of the year, we should be saying Baker Mayfield is now a top 10 quarterback.
It's the first pick in the draft. He has maybe as good a team as there is in the entire National Football League. We have more football conversation as we continue. Plus, coming up, the MVP finalists have been announced. Will the process be Philly's first winner since the answer? We'll answer that question and more as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We are back on Get Up with sneaky big news. The third fight between boxing heavyweights Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder officially has a date. The trilogy will take place July 24th in Vegas. The first fight between these two was a split draw. The second fight, Fury won in a seventh round TKO. Fury, the WBC heavyweight champ, ranks sixth in ESPN's pound-for-pound rankings with a 30-0-1 career record. He is the top-ranked heavyweight. Wilder is the third-ranked heavyweight behind Anthony Joshua, who was the WBO, IBF, and WBA champion. But again, the fight is now set July 24th. Elsewhere, it is time for Get Your Eyes Checked, which is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And this happened on 18 at the PGA Championship yesterday. That is Sebastian Munoz. He hit that one left. How far left? Well, he hit it so far left, he wound up with a hole-in-one of sorts. The ball wound up in a trash can. Take my word for it. It was in a trash can there. That is where it went. He gave it to a fan. Certainly a shot he will never forget. And the second round of the second major of the year is underway. The PGA Championship from beautiful Kiawah Island in South Carolina. And Matt Barry leads our coverage. Matt?
Greeny, good morning. Just another example of someone's trash is another person's treasure. What a great moment that was on the course on a day of hard golf. Yesterday, only seven players shot in the 60s. Right now, the conditions are perfect. And right now, we have a storyline developing with Phil Mickelson, who has found himself atop the leaderboard. We now go into our coverage, live coverage on ESPN Plus here on Get Up.
Welcome you back to our live second round coverage of the 103rd PGA Championship from the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island in South Carolina. Another gorgeous day, and the action really heating up. The leader, Corey Connors, overnight at a two-shot lead. He has struggled. And now we have a tie at 3 under par for the lead. It's a very nice play out of the sand by Webb Simpson at his first hole of the 10th. And among those sharing the lead is Phil Mickelson. At age 50, he'll turn 51 in June. Brooks Koepka will play this afternoon, as will Keegan Bradley, who won this championship 10 years ago. But Connors, the leader, is getting two back to par. And Phil Mickelson trying to give us another magical weekend in a major championship.
And I don't get it.
This is Jordan Spieth for par at 10, trying to complete the career Grand Slam this weekend. Didn't putt well yesterday. Only two players in the field made fewer feet of putts, and he didn't hold his first putt of the day. David Duval, let's talk about Corey Connors sleeping on a lead at a major for the first time in his career, and doesn't look like he slept very well based on what we've seen so far.
It doesn't. He has come out very unsettled. Bogeys the 10th, makes a 30-footer for birdie on 11th. Races this by on 12, makes a bogey on 12. Hits a poor tee shot on 13. It's a very poor second shot. Not an awful pitch shot. You're having to land that short of the green, try to bounce it up there, but that would lead to another bogey. Just a very unsettled start. Doesn't look anything like the player we saw for many hours yesterday afternoon.
You can understand that tentative third at 13. If you catch that just a little too strong, you can go in the water across the green coming out of the rough. But not a par yet for the Canadian from Ontario, Corey Connors.
He's going to struggle with a par on 14 as well, missing it down and to the right.
Go to the play at 3.
And Brandon Grace with a look for birdie at the 3rd. And he is part of that current 8-way tie for the lead at -3. We'll see if any of these players can break away, go low, and we'll see if we're about to have a new leader.
While we wait for Grace, let's go back to 14.
Corey Connors.
And to your point, David, one green in regulation up to this point.
This one's
and he's
stop.
Got just inside 15 feet right. for another par.
Just very, very unsettled so far.
And now Brandon Grace to try and take the lead. It'll be a tap-in par, but one more rotation, and we would have had a new leader.
It's hard to believe, Bob, that he is in the position he's in. If you watched yesterday, when it seemed like on every hole, he was scrambling all over the place just to hold it together. Second shot for one of those leaders, Phil Mickelson. Colt Knost is with this group.
Yeah, he got away with that tee shot. He's got 197, and everything's kind of going against him here. The ball's below his feet, the wind's down off the right, and the hole location's on the front right, so look for this one to be left. Well, it is Phil, and this one's headed actually right of it. Oh, my.
Into
huge mistake. David, that's just a hole location you can't mess with.
No, again, it's similar to the 11th where you want to be short right. You're in a bad position off this tee, have a terrible angle, even though you've hit it in the fairway. You got to be playing short and left of the screen. The ball will just trundle right down to the hole. Which way was that ball moving, Colt? I mean, is his drop going to be up near the green? Or
I think it might have crossed that corner.
Yeah, catch that corner?
It's very, very close. I couldn't really tell from my angle.
This was the most difficult hole at the 2012 PGA Championship, but 9 years ago that hole was mostly into the wind. It's been downwind this week, so nowhere near as difficult. We can tell you that Simpson and Zalatoris both made their pars at 10, and let's go back to 14.
Billy, this is the par putt for Corey Connors.
And a very important one, just to keep from going three over for the round. Wow, how quickly all that good work you did yesterday can evaporate.
No kidding. His fifth hole of the day, and he's made four bogeys.
This is an unexpected. This is entirely unexpected with as solid as he hits the golf ball.
All right, this was just a couple moments ago. Tony Finau at the par 3 14th.
I got to tell you, I had to do a double look. I mean, when he threw this up in the air, as softly as he threw it up in the air, I just couldn't believe anyone could leave it short of the hole.
Pretty good touch from Tony Finau. Fitzpatrick was kind of in a similar position, wasn't he, Billy?
He was. Actually played a little bit different shot. Had a little bit better lie, but now Matthew. Wow, and still work to do.
Been an erratic start for him. All right, back to 13.
How far back does it look like he's going to take this drop, Colt?
I'm going to guess he has around 120 yards. You know, from my angle, it looked like it might have crossed the corner up 10 yards short of the green, but he definitely didn't think so. Like you said, David, that's just a mistake you can't afford to make, especially where he's at in the golf tournament right now.
Right. With his touch around the greens, you're out of position off the tee, even though you're in the fairway. Just hit it over the left side of the green. Let it land just short. If it hops on, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. Easy par and get out of there.
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with par here at 13.
No.
this is a good looking shot here. Going wow. for four the hard way.
Wow.
All right, all right.
Damage minimized. We'll be on ESPN Plus all day long. Featured groups and other exciting aspects of the coverage. Back to SportsCenter.
Sean McDonough, thank you. For more Phil Mickelson magic, remember ESPN Plus. We've got you covered. The full broadcast, as McDonough was saying, plus four featured groups in our featured holes, 16, 17, and 18. That happening right now. If you want to check in on Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris making a move early on. Hey, Greeny, check the GetUp mailbox. Your sleeve of Ocean Course Pro V1s is there. ESPN Plus all day.
I would go through one sleeve awfully quickly, man, after watching the coverage yesterday. Thank you very much. Again, terrific action, and Phil Mickelson is creating an unbelievable story. And as part of our big lineup this weekend, the PGA on ESPN and ESPN+, the NBA playoffs all day tomorrow on ESPN and ABC. We got great boxing, the junior welterweight unification bout Saturday night on ESPN, and Sunday morning the Monaco Grand Prix on ESPN2. What a weekend of sports, and we've got it all covered for you right here. Meanwhile, as we continue, sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. You don't want to miss what our crew thinks Tim Tebow means for Urban Meyer. You'll hear it next.